Greetings to each of you this morning. It's a blessing to be here. We heard a lot of truth this morning. A lot of blessing already to be able to hear what happened, some of the things that was on the heart, and you know, we heard a lot about riches this morning. You know, what is God trying to say to us this morning? We also listened to that message, Sin in Good Standing, Brother Leonard, but Brother Jonas shared there. It's amazing how we could ever get to a place, you know, that, sin in good standing. Like, how can sin ever be at a good standing? But somehow through, things that happen, things that take place, we can find a way around it, and we can feel justified with some envy or some strife or some things that, but yeah, let sin never be in good standing. Let it always be sinful. Through the song service, we sing that song that says, "Dare to stand like Joshua, dare to say the word. For me and for my house, we will serve the Lord," something like that. And I just had, why did the songwriter write dare, you know, dare to say that? And you know, you think of a host of planes going to fully loaded with missiles, going to use them, you know, at enemy territory. It's kind of like that's kind of what happens when the, you know, when we want to serve the Lord with our families, and it's just like the devil just turns everything, you know, against us. You know, we're entering into a battlefield, and too often I don't think that we take it serious enough. But yeah, just things I was thinking about as we were singing, and appreciated this here, what David shared as well. A lot of good things to meditate and think about. But yeah, why don't we have a prayer here before we get started? You want to stand? Everybody want to stand maybe? Dear Father, we just come before You, Father. We pray, Lord, that You would continue to feed us, Father, from Your Word. You would continue to encourage us, Father, that You would help us, O God, that You would give us, Father, the things that we need today, Father, to be faithful, Father. We live in a world, Lord, where the devil is conquering. The devil is taking people out. The devil wants this very church to decay away, Father. And we just pray, Father, that through Your Word today, that we would be able to hear truth. We would be able to be encouraged. We'd be able to overcome, Father. So we just pray, Father, that You would just continue to do that work. Thank You for what we already heard, Father. Thank You for Your mercy upon us. And we just pray that You just continue doing what You've been doing this morning. We pray this all in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Yeah, it has been a different week this week. I was thinking of, you know, there's loved ones in our life, people we love, people that, you know, thinking about my dad this week, just in January, last January, it's about a year now. And just thinking about how you love them, and how you would just endeavor to see them to come to the light, to come to truth, to follow after. And it seems like there's only so much you can say. Yeah, I got a phone call Thursday morning from Brother Barry, and I could tell by the tone of his voice that there's some serious things going on. And he told me there about Alan, and it just, you know, yeah, it was shocking. It was a reality of just the enemy is not wanting to let anyone, you know, free. So I was just thinking about Alan. I just thought maybe I'd share just a little, really quick here, just a little overview. I don't know how many of you have heard his story, but just to think about his life, for just a little picture, a little snapshot into his life. He often told me that I wish I'd never been born. I wish my mom would have aborted me like my grandpa wanted her to. And so he told me the story one time that his mom would have been with a man, and she had no idea that this man was married and had children. And so she was with him for some time, and then Alan came into the picture there, and she found out that she was going to have a baby, and so her grandpa did say that, hey, just abort him. You don't want to have a baby out of this man. You know, this guy, you know, they found out about it and how he deceived them, how he made them. He was a businessman. He would take trips around, you know, and he would be, his whole goal was to get with other women. And so his grandpa really put a lot of pressure on, but she just decided to. And Alan's, his heart was, if only, you know, I don't know if it was his whole life, but I think just these last couple of years, only if she would have aborted me. You know, I would have never had to go through. I could be in heaven. He wanted to be in heaven so bad. He had a longing to be in heaven. He talked a lot about heaven. I mean, he would do anything to go to heaven. And it's so his grown up years, his mom got married there, and she married a man that was very angry, and he really, really misused Alan, you know, from obviously, you know, as a little boy, he probably wasn't the most obedient little boy, but he would beat Alan. He would just, it got so bad at the age of 13 that he left, and he went to live with his grandpa. Well, with that, he went to a different school where his cousins were, and then soon they were out of school, and his cousins were big into doing drugs and dealing drugs and stealing and robbing people. And so that's kind of a little picture, you know, of his younger years, you know. And we look at that and we're like, you know, and so he, a couple years of this dealing drugs and doing drugs, he decides to, he knew that wasn't right, the stealing and all this. So he decided, you know what? A cop out would be for me is just join the army. Join the Marine, the Army Force, the Marine Corps, and then I can get away from this. And he did that. And so he came back, and so at some point he got married there for about 10 years, and his first marriage never worked out. And so then he, and I'm not sure if it's before he went to the Marine Corps or not, but anyhow, so then his second marriage lasted 30 years. And yeah, he longed for that to be back. But just a little snapshot into Alan's life there. Just, yeah, just seemed like it was, we had a lot of good talks, a lot of memories, a lot of things that happened. Yeah, it just seemed like, I was just thinking, if just a little mustard seed is all that he would have needed, you know. Just to, if I'd have one in my hand right here, I'd probably drop it. Just that small. Just a little seed that he could have believed that God could have did something for him. God could change me. Yeah, one of his last text messages to me, I was looking through them, and he said that something in this order. He said, "Yeah, you don't understand. I can't get changed." Something like that. And yeah, just his Marine Corps and the way that he was raised, he said that he had a hard time loving as well. So yeah, now, yeah, it seems like it's just kind of a hole. But God knows, and trust we can learn and somehow seek the Lord and figure out what the future looks like, and other ones that would, you know, that would want to come. I kept telling him, you're so close, Alan. You're so close. I mean, He'd come over and he would minister to my children. He would tell them, "You don't. There's nothing out there. There's nothing out there. This world is an evil, wicked place. There's nothing for you to experience." I mean, he would preach to them. And so that's why I kept telling him, "Alan, you're so close. We don't have to convince you not to love the world. We don't have to convince you that your love for the world, but all you need is some faith, some humility, realizing God is able." I'm just amazed that, he'd been through it. He saw that it didn't work. It caused him to be bankrupt in his soul. But yeah, I love the man. But we'll go on here. I'd like to turn to, or get the title this morning from Proverbs 4, verse 23. This verse, I was converted to only a few months when we was going to the Amish church, and there's an Amish minister was there, and he went through the works of the flesh and explained them. He went through witchcraft and just right down the line, and then he also went through the fruits of the Spirit and explained them, and it was just a powerful. I remember thinking, this is amazing that. And it seemed like it was right on. And so I was so inspired that I called him the following week, and we got to talking there. And he said that this was his model verse. He loved this verse, he said. And I told him, I said, "So what do we do?" I said, "So this church that you was to Sunday and preached," I said, I'm part of that church. I said, "Every one of those sins that you listed are very prevalent, they're being practiced weekly, daily, hourly. What for advice would you have for me?" He thought that I should just try to make it work there. But that's how I was introduced to this verse. First time I read it, when he told me about it, I looked it up. And it is a powerful verse. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life." And I'd like to title the message this morning, "Keep Thy Heart." Keep thy heart. I looked up the word "keep" in the Strong's in Hebrew, because this is Old Testament, so it gives you the Hebrew wording for it. It says to guard, to protect, maintain, obey, preserve, watchmen. Keep. To guard. To protect. Maintain, obey, preserve, watchmen. Look, the word "heart" in the Strong's, "keep thy heart." The thoughts or feelings. So keep, protect the thoughts and the feelings of your heart. The middle, it says. The heart, the middle of who you are. Also said the will. I think it was in the Hebrews it said the will. That was the Greek meaning, would be the middle, the thoughts or feelings. So just keep thy heart. Just a little picture of keep thy heart. And so that's a call. That's a responsibility that we all have. And I think too many times that we're not watching like we ought, because we can tell what's coming out of our heart, coming out of our life. We can tell what's in there. We can tell what, we're all called to have a new heart, right? If we're called, if we're going to be a child of God, we know that we must have a new heart. After you have this new heart, there's some things that God wants to work on. Some things that, if you've been converted, you've been living a wicked life, you just get converted, there's things that you've been practicing and doing that you never knew was sin, and so those things will be there, that, you know, for me, he took a lot of those things away right from the beginning. But there's things that still came out. And there was a keeping and a watching and a crying out for, you know, for God to work. I think you can identify with that. If you're a Christian in here today, what does this sound like to you? You know, I was thinking a responsibility that God places on us to keep thy heart. And it says, you know, how? It says with all diligence. All diligence. I mean, it's not just like a preferred thing or if you want to do it. I mean, it's like an urgency. And we're going to read some other scriptures as well to bring some of these points out. But reality is man, it's easy for man not to be diligent. Like we heard this morning already, moderate in you know, godliness, just the bare minimum. And God forbid that we would just be okay with just doing the bare minimum. When Jesus Christ came and did what he did, and we would want to go through this life just to barely get by in our Christian life, just do enough just to please God, just enough just so we can stay a child of God. Just you know, we know it doesn't work. We won't be a part of the kingdom. We won't be in the kingdom very long like that. We're going to read about a story here in the Bible that it seemed like that's where a man's heart was. He was, there's some things going on in his life, and he just made it by for a length of time. And then it was over for him. And we don't read that he ever repented. Bible words like watch, look, keep, seek, build up. These are the things that we need to be paying attention to, that I need to be paying attention to. It's easy to just not be doing that. It's, you know, to just kind of sit in your seat and do what you need to do and not be an active, motivated, and a motivator into the will and the work of God. Maybe you're asking, I thought all I needed to do is to trust in Jesus and I'm good. So now you're saying, after I'm a Christian, I have a responsibility to keep. And most people would, you know, around us, the Protestant world, that Christianity is kind of like, they don't see a responsibility. Jesus did it all, and the work is finished. He said it was finished. And so therefore, for me to have to keep something or be responsible to watch what's coming out so I can keep an eye on my life and keep committing it to the Lord, keep trusting in the Lord, is not really part of their mind frame. Their how they think. And I trust that none of us think that way here. We all know better than that. I thought we'd turn to Jude, verse 17 through 23. I'll read. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And just another call here. Now we're seeing it in the Old in the New Testament. We see it in the Old, the book of Proverbs, to keep thy heart. Now we're seeing it here, is to keep yourself in the love of God. We know that this is very important. We know that we can do nothing in ourselves. We can decide to start keeping our heart, start keeping, you know, doing good, doing better. But obviously that will all fail sooner than later. And so we're called to keep ourselves in God's love. And I had to think, it stood out to me, looking for the mercy. You know, His mercies are new every morning. But if you think about when you became a Christian and to today, and you look back over your life and the things that you grew in, the things that how you were and now you're not, you can see mercy. You can see mercy. Lots of mercy. And looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So that's what we're looking at. Christians looking into mercy. And because we need it, we need His mercy to be able to make it through. We need to see God's mercy. So here's a building yourself up in the most holy faith. I appreciated this. I always appreciated these verses in Jude here of building yourself, because there's a call. It's a holy thing. It's a holy faith. I mean, this thing that we have, that we are to put our trust in, the one and only true God is holy. And so Jude is calling it a holy faith. And I appreciate that, that wording there. Just, it stood out to me. Praying in the Holy Ghost. When is the last time, you know, that we prayed in the Holy Ghost, you know, just praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Some of those phrases just kind of went with keep thy heart. Thought we'd read that. Why would Jesus say that you should deny yourself, take up the cross and follow Him? You know, just some thoughts. Because He knew that our heart was going to be deceitfully wicked. You know, as an unbeliever, our heart is deceitfully wicked. The Bible says even the plowing of the wicked is sin. And so He knew that in order for a man to be able to come to truth, he was going to have to deny himself. He's going to have to deny that and be able to see that God is able to change me. And yeah, it seems like the older a man gets, maybe the harder that it's to get them to see that God is able to do something in their life. God, it seems like the more I talk to older men, it just burdens me. Their view of God. It seems like the longer you live in sin, the less opportunity for you to even see that God is powerful, almighty, and that He has the power to change lives. I was just struck by that, thinking back over some of the men that I've talked to over the years, and I praise the Lord, they're not all like that. I think Brother Joe Kenosha here, they came to the faith here in their older years, and I praise the Lord for that. So I'm not saying that it's impossible or that all men are that way, but I do just take an inventory. I thought of that. So to keep going here, we must remember we can't keep something we don't have. You know, that's one thing that we must have a converted heart, a new heart. Otherwise, we can't keep anything. We got to have something before we can keep it. We're aware what it looks like when someone doesn't take the Bible principles or keeping the heart seriously. Their Christian life ends up in shipwreck. And, you know, we know later on in this verse, it says, and we're going to talk about this more, but it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, out of it comes the issues of life. So So there is shipwreck when you when you're not being honest with where you're at. Issues of life will be there. And I'm not sure if any of us are willing to pay that cost of what sin will do in our lives. We don't want those issues. I mean, because they're bigger than us. They was more, my mind's a lot on Alan, but they were the issues of life was more than what Alan could handle. That's why, that him looking around and his family. See, sin brings issues, and many times it's with dividing the family. And just a burden, I guess, to keep our hearts this morning. Keep thy heart. For my own life, I was just pondering this, seeking the Lord. Lord, am I keeping my heart with all diligence? Everything. Am I being honest? Where I'm at, what I'm feeling, what's coming out of my heart? Am I being genuine? And if something comes out that is un-Christ-like, am I willing just to say, you know what? I need to, Lord, I'm sorry. Me and my brother-in-law has been, working back and forth. We're building his house right now. And so one thing I appreciate about him, he's quick to call you back. And a lot of times you don't even really think anything about it, but he would say something and he'd quickly say, hey, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry. I'm not sure if that came out right, I really appreciate that about him. Seems like he has a soft heart in that way and ministers to my heart. What are you and I willing to give up to be able to live this way? Is there something that we're hanging on to that's keeping us from keeping our heart? To trade eternal life for a bowl of soup, I was thinking of that incident there, the bowl of soup and giving up his birthright. Or what will I give for exchange of my soul? To gain the whole world and lose my own soul. What are we willing to do to keep the heart this morning? Would be my burden. I read this verse and a few months back I thought, well, If I'd be asked to share again, I'd like to preach on that verse, because for my very own life, it's needful to keep a close eye, to stay in tune with my heart. Jesus made many things that he said what's going to come out of the heart is what defiles a man. So that's what we need to keep an eye. Even though we have a converted heart, we also need to keep an eye, just because we heard about deception this morning. And we're going to get to a little more of that a little later here. I would say a huge war is to stay diligent. To stay diligent, for man to stay diligent. Because it's just natural for man to just become casual, just lukewarm. Almost every time I went to visit Alan or he came over, he would talk about he wants his life back. He would love to sit on the couch and watch Netflix with his wife. He would just love to do this. It was like a burning, like he would just visualize it and long for that. And I told him, I said, so what you're saying is, so this is what you're saying. You would love to continue living how you were living And obviously that life produced sin. You were actively sinning, living that life, watching Netflix, sitting on the couch. And so you would rather kept living another 10 years, 2 years, 1 year, 6 months. You would rather kept living that way. And here now God is stripping everything from you because He loves you. And He knows that these things were idols to you. He knows that that's where your heart was and that you love them with all your heart. And so now He's taken one thing at a time from you to help you get right with Him. I said, what a blessed opportunity. You'll never get any closer than that. You'll never have more blessing than that. I said, I know it's hard for you to see and it's easy for me to say, but I guarantee you the heartbeat of God is to bring you to the end of yourself. And He'd be like, you're right. You're right. But yeah, just thinking about casual, you know, Netflix, couch, just relax, just the relaxing. I'm okay where I'm at. I'm okay. Just, hey, calm down. Let's, you know, it's not diligently keeping my heart. Realizing where's my diligence, where's my zeal, you know, am I losing fire, you know, more like God, you know, inspire me, help me get in the fight if you're not fighting or whatever, you know, whatever it might be, more of that spirit I feel is what the hunger and thirst of God would have us to do. Casual Christianity, you know. I don't think it's possible, but that seems like where it's at. Is saying, casual Christianity is saying, it's okay if you do, it's okay if you don't. You know, you can do it, you don't have to. You don't have to be diligent, you know. I mean, it don't matter. That's what casual Christianity is saying. When we love this life, we get like an old man that's losing his hearing, you know. You're trying to hang on to something, and let's say a group of believers are trying to be diligent, but you love this thing that you just, you know, this life, you just love it, you want to nurture it, you want to make the best of it, but it's like you just can't hear no more. It's like, what did you say? And God forbid. You know, I remember when my dad started losing his hearing. But I just have that picture in my mind. I don't know if you can track with me, but just, we don't want to lose our hearing. Let's take a look at the charge that David gave to Solomon. Let's turn to 1 Kings. And I'm going to read 2 through 4 here. We're going to do some reading here. I'll have to... Time is making its way through here, but we're going to talk about Solomon here a little. we was going through 1 Kings here, and it just, I don't know. Reading this, studying into this, it gave me a burden, being able to see Solomon and his zeal, his fervor. We're going to read a lot of this, this encouragement that God was giving him. God was just provoking him on. God was meeting with him often. I mean, within 8 chapters, God was at least, I think, 4 times just giving him the whole picture. And so it looked like, the temple was being built, things were getting done. And even in the book of Proverbs, it seems like, as far as I know, from what I could tell, Solomon, you know, wrote that. And so he knew about this, you know, keep thy heart. But David's charge here, I'll just start on verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge
of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. And it is written in the law, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and wheresoever thou turneth thyself. That the Lord may continue his word, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall no fail thee, saith he, a man on the throne of Israel. And so this is a charge that David has given to Solomon here. And it's a beautiful charge. David, you know, loved his son here, and he wanted him to keep this, you know, this way of the Lord. And so we'll continue here. Let's read 1 Kings 3:1. And so I would like for us to pay attention to this verse. Now, this is before the dream. This is way before anything. This is before God spoke to Solomon. This is the very thing. There's something that Solomon grabbed a hold of. And from what I can tell, God never spoke to him about it. Never rebuked him. Never rebuked him to verse 11, or chapter 11. After he had 1,000 of them. But one thing God did try to do is encourage him. God spent a lot of time bringing encouragement. Do this. And we're going to read these encouraging verses that God... So I'd like to give you a little picture of what I'm trying to think about here. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the walls of Jerusalem round about. So Pharaoh's daughter got brought into the city of David. Just note that. You know, keep thy heart. Keep thy heart. Brothers, let's keep our hearts. Let's read now. We'll stay in the same chapter here. 1 Kings 3:3-15. I know it's going to be a little bit of reading here, but I think it'll be good for us. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in his statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed burnt innocents in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. And in Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night and said, ask what shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept from him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made me a servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or come in. Look at the humility. I'm as a little child. I don't know, Lord. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, which canneth not be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and bad, and for whom is able to judge this thy so great a people. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And I think we're going to cut it off there. There's some response of the Lord, what he did, but we're going to run out of time here. Let's go to 1 Kings 6. 12 and 13. Concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt, this is God talking to Solomon. So he's building the house of the Lord. If thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spoke unto David thy father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. And so just think about the Lord appearing and saying this, you know, just, and there was this kind of silence about this Pharaoh's daughter. First Kings 8:54. Through 61. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all his prayers and supplications, and this whole chapter he was praying, but this is just more of the end of his prayer, unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling from his knees with his hands spread up towards heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that has given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he had promised, there has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. And the Lord our God be with us. And he was with our fathers, as he was with our fathers, let him not leave us nor forsake us. And that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded to our fathers. Now we see here that now he's telling the people that we need to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments. You know, it's a beautiful picture. I mean, it's a refreshing time. I mean, the glory that was coming out of Israel at the time, it was an amazing, amazing time there. So, and let's turn to 1 Kings 11, and let's read 1-4. Now there's a turn. And it's sad, brothers. I don't know. I read this and it's kind of discouraging to think about. You know, that did Solomon not know that he shouldn't bring Pharaoh's daughter into the, you know, didn't he know about this? Didn't David, you know, didn't he hear that you shouldn't intermix with marriages? Or was he just not keeping his heart? Was his lust overriding? Was it more of just a speech? It's a challenge for us. Was it more of just a speech? More of just, you know, just kind of going along. You know, God came to him as a dream and he said this to God in a dream. I don't know. But verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, and Edomites, the Zidonites, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. So he clave unto these women in love after the Lord told him this. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Turned away his heart. And I don't know how this works all the time. But this should humble us. If things like this don't humble us, I was just thinking, like, does it matter if we have one or 1,000? Does it matter if we have one wife or 1,000 wives? What I'm thinking of, like, Solomon, if he was so concerned, like he was saying, to keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments. But then God's like, Solomon, you have 1,000. They're going to destroy you. And how many times are we willing to hear the voice of God and not just be, you know, just because it sounds spiritual or where it sounds good or it sounds right, but our hearts, where we're keeping our hearts and where we love to do the will of God. We get excited about these things. And that's where I think we can have that heart, brothers. I've experienced it. And I want to experience more. How do we keep our hearts? Let's add one word to the title. Keep thy heart pure. You know? Let's add one word, I thought, later on here as I was going through. You know what? Keep thy heart pure. We're brought to crossroad many times with lust, envy, pride. You fill in the blanks. What will we do? Will we keep our hearts? Or will we listen to the whisper in our ear? The enemy of our souls. I'm convinced more than ever is if we humble ourselves to do what Jude says, we can stay victorious. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And why would the first and greatest commandment, why would it be first? Because it's the one that we need the most. It's the very first one. Love God. Love God. And yes, it, you know, He gives you the pure heart. He gives you the new heart. He'll give you the motivations that you need. How do we keep our hearts? Could we learn something from the Lamb of God? I just thought about looking into Jesus' life really quick here. Just some things that inspired me. The Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. He had a burden to keep His heart pure. There was nothing more important as you read the Gospels. You see that's the case. After His baptism in the wilderness, what do we see there? What do we see? Oh, by the way, Jesus, you know, this stone over here, you can make that bread. It's all the devil's after is just wanting us to get one. Just listen to Him. He wants a voice in our life. He wants to listen. Just listen to me. That's all He wants. Because if He can get us to listen, the issues of life are at hand. You know, you think of the great mountain that He went up on, and if you bow down and worship Me, you know, you can have all this. But Jesus wasn't interested. That wasn't what He was interested in. There's a bigger picture. There's some aim and some goals and some visions of keeping His heart pure that He had. The second point here, He always did those things that please the Father. And I know we hear this often. We read it in our Bibles. But are we truly looking for an opportunity to do things to please our Father? You know? Is that my chiefest goals in life? It was convicting, and just as I challenged my own heart in my quiet time and thought about that point, is that my chiefest goal? And I in many ways I feel that it is, but I do sense a need of just growth, you know, just where it's just burning, more alive. the Garden of Gethsemane.
Take this cup. You know, it don't stop there. He was caught up into a place where his very life was on the line. And there's, you know, he was 30 years old, and the Bible says that, I was thinking about this, that he experienced the same things that we did. He experienced the same feelings and different things, and who knows what he had on his mind, you know. I don't know if he knew, you know, it seemed like as it got closer, he knew when it was time because he was saying the hour and all that, but I'm sure it could have been easy for him to start bringing his focus down. You know, could do something, you know, could maybe get married or, you know, raise a family. But that wasn't part of God's plan. It wasn't part of God's plan for him. Take this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Are we willing to be at that place in our lives? Yeah, something's coming our way. It's hard. Take it, Lord. Not my will. Not my will. Thy will be done. You know, I was singing that song this morning about being carried away in flowery beds of ease, you know, just we live in a world that's reality. That's the pressure. That's where the battle, you know, the battle is many times. We everybody's pampered. Everybody's just so cozy and taken care of, and it just, when something hard comes, it's just like, take the cup. I don't want it. I don't never want it. Just get it out of here. You know, this isn't for me. The fourth point here. On the cross, Father, forgive them. Pure heart. We see that he sought to keep his heart. Keep thy heart pure. I just thought, why do we keep a pure heart? We see the end of this verse. I commented on this already. For out of it comes the issues of life. And I would just like to maybe pound this point home a little bit. You know, too often I think that when we notice something in our lives, that sometimes we don't make as big of a deal out of it as we maybe should. You know, we don't call that brother up or, you know, do, you know, just like, well, you know, but to think that issues of life will come. Sin in my life will cause issues of life. It will derail people from the faith. It will derail people. Many times it's our children. Many times usually when someone has sin or has a wrong doctrine or has some mission that's not from God, usually they're trying to get people on board with them to get to, you know, what do you think? Agree with me, you know, and what do you think about so-and-so said this and this, and you know, I think it should be like this, and it's more of that. So it's luring people in, it's deceiving people. For out of it comes the issues of life. I don't think, and what the point I was going to make is too often, you know, you talk to an older man, and there's no power for him to get delivered out of this. I mean, you tell him the truth, and you tell him you pray, and you seek the Lord for him, and you minister to him, but there's no power for him to get delivered out of this. We're not guaranteed. We're not guaranteed that if we decide to not keep a pure heart, that this just miraculously that someday that we're just going to be able to get delivered out of this. This is going to, you know, I think when you fall away from God, that this is real. Getting back to God is a big thing.
And so I think that's why we need to take this so seriously for. Could we settle in our hearts? Sin in our life brings issues to brotherhood. Brings issues to brotherhood. So I'm going to read a verse in closing here in Colossians 2 verse 7. To leave with you all here this week and trust that this could be an encouragement. Things I've been just pondering and rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And I just think that's just a beautiful verse to put our anchor, to put our gaze on. That we would be rooted and built up in Him. And we would be established. Like, there's when something's established, you know, we have a church established here. There's footers in the ground, you know. And you think about my faith in God. Is it established in that way? There's footers in the ground. I know where I stand. I know this isn't going to be easy. But with God's help, I can do this. So God bless you all.